Hello and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. The world of HME is all about patient relationships. Providers put the patient front and center in the process and keep it that way, or at least they try to keep it that way the whole way through to maintain care levels and customer service. The patient relationship and patient engagement is everything. And it turns out the key to making that happen might be a lot more common than we realize. Here to explain all that is James Yee. James is the Director of Product Management over Digital Connectivity for industry software maker Brightree. James, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you on.
Thanks so much, David. It's great to be on.
Yeah, I always enjoy interviewing you. This is not the first time you and I have talked, and I think you always have a really clear-headed perspective on things. So I'm eager to get into this topic and see how it goes. That said, and let's start in with a basic question. In broad and basic terms, why is patient engagement so important?
So patient engagement and really patient experience has kind of evolved around, especially in our industry. It's so much more apparent now that the consumer voice lives within the patient, really kind of caused by Amazon and e-commerce, which revolves around consumer experience or customer experience. These days, you can get your equipment from anywhere. Even backing up, you can go to any doctor. You can log into your insurance to see who's in network. Even in your insurance pages, they're going to have doctor ratings. Where you want to get your healthcare, you're going to Google it. You're going to look at Yelp reviews. So it's ever more important that our providers establish a best of class patient experience, because that's going to be the differentiator. You know, where patients are going to go and have a better experience, where they're able to pay their bills online, where they're able to know how much their financial responsibility is going to be up front, whether they're left in the dark through a usually overwhelming process just to get their healthcare equipment or supplies, if they're kept in the dark, or on the other hand, if they're kept up to date through that process, they're going to have an overall better patient experience. And our customers and HME providers really need to focus on patient experience and making that whole journey much more pleasing and much more enjoyable for patients. You know, when you order something on Amazon, you know exactly where it is. Some deliveries even have, you know, where that driver is. The returns process is super easy, right? So customers are kind of expecting this. Several other industries are embracing this, where customer satisfaction or patient satisfaction is top of focus.
Yeah, that definitely, it feels like that expectation permeates everything at this point. I'm speaking for myself. I know that I have kind of my expectations have been raised because of experiences like Amazon. Now, the traditional method for HMEs to engage with patients has been the phone, but that's not working out exactly, correct?
The getting patients on the phone has becoming much harder and harder, especially in the most recent years. There's so many more spam campaigns. And to be honest, no one's picking up their phones anymore. Mm-hmm. If it's a number that they don't recognize, they're not picking up the phone. They're not dialing in to check their voicemail. We hear from customers all the time that playing phone tag with patients is on an average about 8 phone calls that it takes over several days just to get a patient on the phone. For something simple, just letting them know of their upcoming appointment, letting them know that their order has shipped. Or if there's issues with getting the therapy out, if there's missing documentation, if there's an issue with insurance eligibility, getting that patient on the phone or communicating with that patient is even important just to get, the therapy started so we can start billing and sending those claims out.
Okay, so the telephone isn't working so hot. Are there any other options?
Yeah, absolutely. Mobile apps was very big, probably in this past decade. Everybody started developing mobile apps, and they're great. They kind of get that intimate connectivity with the end user. You're able to do things like, you have fingerprints, you have everyone with a smartphone with an app has a built-in scanner, mm-hmm. with the camera, just to be able to upload an insurance card. For myself, I know I can't live without those banking apps. I don't know when the last time I went in and, deposited a check through a teller. Everything is using the mobile app. And, we created a mobile app called Patient Hub about 4 years ago. And again, getting patients registered once they're on, it does create that sense of owning your healthcare. Patients are kind of supercharged with the convenience of having all their information right on their phones. They can send messages, they can receive messages, they can upload insurance cards. They have a direct connection with the provider. But with that, there's a downside. With all the different mobile apps that are out there, there's kind of this app fatigue. It's a big ask to ask someone to download an app, to go through a registration process, to remember a password, remember security questions, then change passwords every so often.
Yeah.
It's really, when you ask someone to download an app, you're, asking for their eyes, their attention, that you have an app that's out there that can send push notifications. And, when really, if patients really just want to get, a tracking number for their shipment or just a reminder for their appointment, it was a bit of an obstacle to get them to download, go through the registration process when really, they just needed a small little piece of information.
So is there an alternative to apps?
Yeah, absolutely. What we want to start to be able to utilize is text messaging. Mm-hmm. Text messaging is much less invasive of an outreach method. It's simple, it's short, and due to its simplicity, it's been successful. We still have the application, the mobile app and the web portal, but we really want to, have our providers develop that relationship first, communicate just via text message, for the initial, let's say you send out a welcome message when a referral is received, just letting the patient know that, hey, this is, so-and-so HME, we've received your referral and we're working on fulfilling that order. And then just being able to send text out is really where every other industry is going to. You think about, you get a reservation at a restaurant, you go up to the hostess, you put your name down, you give them your phone number so you can go walk around and do whatever. And they're just going to send you a simple text when your table's ready. You don't have to download an app. You don't have to register for an account, just get a simple text message and it's super convenient. And, like I mentioned before, the consumer voice within a patient, that's what everyone's expecting these days.
I think that in my own life, I would totally agree with that. I do suffer from app fatigue, and text really is my lingua franca for all the, carrying out these sort of daily tasks. And so when it comes to texting in healthcare, I know in my personal life that that's certainly taking off. I do a lot of arranging of prescriptions and doctor's appointments, and particularly telehealth appointments through texting. Are you seeing the same thing?
Absolutely, David. Texting is going to be a part of life. It's like I mentioned before, it's the most convenient way. And there's so many touch points from even an HME patient's journey that a simple text will just keep them up to date. Like I mentioned before, a welcome message, just introducing your organization to the patient. They've talked to their doctor. The doctor may have sent the referral out to a few different providers. They have no idea who's going to fulfill their equipment order. So even just a welcome message that introduces your organization, HME's organization, to that patient, just establishes that digital relationship with that patient. And then from there, anything that can be automated out of the system, you know, whether that's order status, things being back ordered, that's kind of a hot topic today, this past couple of years, with a lot of the supply chain issues. You know, patients are waiting, you know, 2, 3, 4, 6 weeks just for, you know, particular equipment to be delivered, and orders within an EHR are just sitting there static, and patients have no idea, you know, they're left in the dark. But again, without registering for an application or a portal, if they're just getting constant text updates as to where things are in the process, again, it goes back to patient experience. You know, they're going to be much happier. They're not going to have that unknown of what, you know, what's going on. Is it going to be approved by insurance? Do I owe anything? When is it going to be shipped out? If we're constantly sending them, you know, small, non-invasive text notifications on where their process is, again, they're going to be in much more control of their own healthcare.
So looking specifically at HME, let's dig a little deeper. What are the sorts of things, from your point of view, that providers can use texting for?
I mentioned the welcome message. Again, that's really key in kind of switching a patient's gears into, you know, dealing with their physician to now dealing with a provider of that equipment, separate entities, order status, appointment reminders. Again, that's really big process that our current customers go through. Just giving a patient a call for the next day, you know, of every appointment that's on the books. Those things should be automated. You know, that's going to save staff time. That's going to be much more convenient. That's going to reach out to the patient, you know, as an alternate method instead of a phone call. And patients are just going to get that information. Tracking numbers. I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer. You know, anything that's being shipped out by carriers, that's constant today. You know, everybody that's ordering, the whole e-commerce, you know, boom in the past decade, you know, everyone's sitting there getting, you know, text reminders for their FedEx or UPS or USPS tracking numbers. Being able to troubleshoot devices remotely. You know, we can actually leverage text messages to initiate a telehealth conference, or bring them to a webpage where they can actually interact back in with that provider. And then there's things that are direct impacts to a provider's revenue stream. We can send resupply notifications, you know, just through text message, just letting patients know, hey, you're eligible for new supplies. You know, maybe click on this link to set up some new orders. Or even just payment reminders. You know, you have a new invoice that's coming up to be due. You have an invoice to be past due. Please give us a call, you know, if you need some financial assistance, or, you know, let's get those bills paid. Again, everything that you can think of that traditionally is someone sitting through a list of patients to contact through the phone. Sending a text is so much more convenient, so much more effective. You know, like I mentioned before, no one's picking up the phone. Everyone's got tons of emails either going to junk mail or spam, or they're just not reading their emails, but the texts are, you know, it's hitting their, you know, phone that's right in their pockets or their purses.
Yeah. It's thinking from the patient side, it's gotta be a massive convenience, because you've got that one text thread from the HME provider, and it's basically, you know, the history of your, you know, assuming you're not deleting your text messages, it's the history of your engagement with that provider. You can go back and you can find, you know, like you said, tracking numbers or, you know, invoice numbers or whatever. It's got to be massive.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you get a phone call and, you know, someone else picks up, they're writing down a message, they're putting it on a piece of paper saying, you know, maybe it's the husband, or maybe the, you know, the kid picked up the phone and it's about their father, that they have an appointment, they're writing it down. In this way, all the text messages are saved. You know, you're not writing down notes on a piece of paper that could get lost. You're not having to dial into a voicemail to get the details of, let's say, an appointment or, you know, a status of an order. So yeah, absolutely. Supercharging convenience, really, for everyone.
And you mentioned resupply, and I want to go back on that and dig in a little deeper on that. You know, how how does this sort of texting scenario help in resupply? And I'm thinking not just in terms of like the dialogue with the patient, but also like on the back end, on the provider back end. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, like I mentioned before, just letting patients know that they're eligible to order resupply. That's huge. I know there's campaigns out there that will call, that will email, you know, texting, you know, whether that's, you know, sending out blast texts or really even having it automated with the eligibility engine.
Wow.
And then, yeah, allowing patients to act upon that text, you know, being able to click into a link that brings them to an order order portal and allows them to see, you know, what items that they're eligible for and even making that order right then and there. Again, just going around the convenience of interacting through text message, you know, just getting that link, getting into a portal, pushing that order through. Receiving a text message to say, you know, sign a document that might be required, getting a text message also to receive like training material, you know, to again, for it to better stay compliant with the particular therapy. And really, you know, compliance is a big issue too. And this is what we're validating will improve compliance. You know, improves outcomes as well. You know, patients that are more that adhere to their therapy are going to have better outcomes, and that's a huge interest from, you know, not only from the provider's perspective because they can bill, you know, based on compliance, but that affects their referrals and even their payers.
Yeah,
you know.
I was going to say, it's got to be music to their ears.
Yeah. I mean, you know, improved outcomes is, you know, in the long run, you know, going to eventually lower costs of healthcare. You know, if the particular therapy is keeping them healthier, you know, it's going to reduce overall, you know, healthcare costs.
Lots of compelling reasons to integrate texting into a provider's patient engagement, you know, efforts or infrastructure or whatever you want to call it. My question to you, James, what's involved in implementing this? How do providers start to put, make, you know, texting part of their engagement?
Sure, David. It can be as simple, you know, just being able to leverage text, you know, whether it's running a report out of your system and manually sending it to a texting campaign platform, such as Easy Text or, you know, a Tiger Text or, you know, Constant Contact, that's going to work wonders. You know, even if it's just a, you know, a report for new referrals that you want to send a welcome message, introducing if they have any questions, to assist during the intake process, getting those texts out there, getting the consent from patients, to communicate with the provider using text, that's also key. You know, once you have that consent, whether that's through an intake form or an actual text message or an email to get that consent, that kind of establishes the ground rules that then you can start providing all of those updates to the patients. Mm-hmm. That's definitely one way. Even better is if you have something that's fully integrated in with EHR, anything that can be driven by automated triggers out of the system, you know, when a referral automatically comes in, when tracking numbers are added to the system, you know, when order statuses change, again, then you get the benefits of communicating and keeping patients, you know, informed throughout their process, but you also reduce the operational costs, you know, that someone's not running a manual report, someone's not uploading it into a platform that can send out texts. You know, the automation that you can build into a system, in addition to, you know, improving that patient experience with texting, is going to multiply the benefits that come in.
There you go. Yeah, it's funny because as I'm listening to that, you know, the manual process sounds doable and it sounds attainable and it sounds like it's a lot less work than telephone outreach and engagement. But the flip side is this automation scenario, you know, this automated scenario where texting is integrated with the EHR is really fascinating. Can you give me a taste of what's possible? Because I'm thinking like, you know, I'm thinking like, say in the resupply scenario we were talking earlier, it sounds like that could be like hyper automated, for lack of a better description.
Absolutely. If you have an eligibility built into your EHR, and that's going to be the triggers that we're talking about, something that's systematic, that is scalable, that works with high volume, is where you're going to see the biggest benefit. So integrating that type of system that determines eligibility for resupply, and being able to use texting as as one of the outreach modalities. You know, there's platforms out there that does it with, you know, a human calling. They'll have it with IVR, with a system calling, you know, robot calling, and patients are entering, you know, push one to reorder this or push two to reorder that. But again, being able to, number one, automate it and have a eligibility engine determine if a patients are eligible for whatever supplies that they need to reorder, getting that message out to patients. Again, the whole theme of this is getting it out via text. And then within that text, be able to allow patients to interact back. And whether that's through a portal or, you know, even simply just call back, you know, call us back. You're eligible for resupply. Talk to one of our, reps to get that order out to you, because our system's saying, you know, that equipment might be depleted. It might be worn out. You know, we want the best care for you. We want you to have the best outcome for your therapy.
And of course, you know, that this is all happening through that text. So it's entirely on the patient's terms, which I think is an important part of engagement.
Yep. They're the ones that's going to initiate this back. You send out the text, it's sitting on the phone. They can get to it at their own convenience. You know, they don't have to wait on hold. They don't have to wait and actually pick up the phone to actually interact with that rep right then and there. They can do it on their own terms. They can do it in the middle of the night, and it's all digital, and it comes back into the system.
So what about security? How does that fit into the sort of texting scenario?
Great question, David. So texting is inherently not the best for communicating sensitive information. There are certainly things that fall within HIPAA compliance and out of HIPAA compliance. You can send tracking information. You can send order status information. You can send actual details about an appointment reminder. But what's really key is you don't want to put any PHI within a text. You don't want patients using text as a way to communicate back with you with PHI. Mm-hmm. And the preferred process here is really to navigate a patient to a secure website that they can click on a link, whether it's something like creating a resupply order or being able to communicate back within a secure website. You know, text messages are going to live on carrier servers, AT&T servers or Verizon, and that's inherently going to fall on the, you know, non-compliant side for HIPAA. But if you're able to have patients interact through, you know, a secure website, they can validate some information on who they are. Then you can start engaging a little bit more and more in detail about specific information. That could even be PHI, you know, as long as patients can authenticate who they are. And that's really going to leverage the best benefits of texting while staying on the compliant side.
So, James, if members of our audience want to find out more about, automating patient engagement and apps and texting in particular, do you guys have any information online that they can check out?
Yes, absolutely. If you want to go to brighttree.com/DX, we actually have a new initiative coming out within a few months around digital experience that really covers a lot of everything that we talked about today.
Okay, James, that's great. And it's been great talking to you. Thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much, David. Really enjoyed today.
I have a feeling this will not be the last time we talk about this. Thanks again to James for visiting the podcast. Again, you can learn more about digital automation and patient engagement at brighttree.com/DX. Again, that's brighttree.com/DX. And as James said, it looks like they're working on quite an initiative, so we'll have to see what they cook up. Okay, I think we'll wrap up today's episode. But before I do that, I do have a question for you. Do you want to help the HME Business Podcast reach more HME providers? Then take a quick second to rate and review this episode. Also, please, if you haven't done so already, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry, make sure to go over to hme-business.com. Again, that's hme-business.com and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service there. And if you haven't done so, make sure to subscribe to the print magazine there as well. And you can even get that as a digital flipbook if you want to save a tree. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And I'm at Post Acute News on Twitter. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach me via email. I'm at DKO, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105 Media. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering important HME business topics like patient engagement. But for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.